This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Noah Adams. Before President George W. Bush accepts his party's nomination at the Republican National Convention tonight, he will be the subject of a biographical film. These soft focus profiles have been a staple of conventions for 20 years now. But changes in network television coverage are pushing the biographical film to the margins of the convention. From member station WHYY, Joel Rose reports.
Somewhere in the heartland, a tractor rolls slowly across a red dawn sky. A troop of Girl Scouts raises the American flag. In Washington, D.C., Ronald Reagan takes the oath of office.
Place your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Ronald Reagan, do solemnly swear.
I, Ronald Reagan, do solemnly swear.
These are the opening shots of the film A New Beginning, shown for the first time at the 1984 Republican National Convention in Dallas.
You know, you don't really become president. The presidency is an institution, and you have temporary custody of it.
Political candidates have appeared on film almost since its invention, but it wasn't until 1968 that a movie paid for by a political party demonstrated the medium's possibilities in an election. The film Robert Kennedy Remembered, by director Charles Guggenheim, brought the Democratic convention in Chicago to a near standstill.
What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
But no biopic captured the attention of the voting public, quite like the Reagan film, says David Schwartz, a curator at the American Museum of the Moving Image in New York City.
That film really reached the home audience, and it was the success of that film that made it mandatory for candidates to have strong convention films.
A New Beginning became the foundation for Reagan's Morning in America ad campaign. Both were the work of Madison Avenue advertising executive Philip Dusenberry. It was his idea to have Reagan himself record the film's voiceover.
It gave the film a very personal feeling. It was like it was coming not from some detached voice, but it was coming from the man himself. His storytelling ability gave it a very folksy, very real, very believable, me-to-you kind of context.
After A New Beginning, biopics became more intimate, focusing on a candidate's likability, says Kathleen Hall Jamieson, director of the Annenberg Center for Public Policy at the University of Pennsylvania.
In the era of television, the approachability of the candidate you will never actually be able to talk to as a voter has become one of the criteria that people use in selecting a president. We almost seem to be assessing the president as best friend, babysitter-in-chief for our children, person you'd like to be on a plane with.
Few biopics have done this more effectively than The Man from Hope, the film that introduced Bill Clinton at the 1992 Democratic National Convention.
I was born in a little town called Hope, Arkansas, 3 months after my father died.
The film was produced by Harry Thomason and his wife, Linda Bloodworth Thomason. Both were established TV producers in Los Angeles who had known the Clintons for years. Director Linda Bloodworth Thomason says her film was not heavily market tested.
I didn't have political consultants. I never looked at a focus group report. You know, I just said, well, I'm just going to show people how I know you and let them see what I see. And it was really that naive, and I think maybe that's why it sort of worked.
The Man from Hope was shown by all of the broadcast networks during the convention, but the networks have been cutting back on how much airtime they give to the conventions. This week, the broadcast networks are airing only 3 hours of primetime coverage at the RNC in New York. One of the casualties of the cutbacks is the biopic. The Ronald Reagan film, which ran almost 20 minutes, aired in its entirety 20 years ago. Now at least one network news executive refers to biopics as pure propaganda. The University of Pennsylvania's Kathleen Hall Jamieson says the networks are less likely than ever to show them.
Even if broadcast is up and running and viewers are watching, they'll talk right through them. In fact, during the Democratic convention, unless you were paying pretty close attention to C-SPAN, you weren't likely to catch some of the major biopics.
I decided to run for president because I was frustrated.
The John Kerry film, whose official title is A Remarkable Promise, is unofficially known as Saving Private Kerry. It was directed by Steven Spielberg protege James Maul, who won an Oscar for his 1999 documentary, The Last Days.
It disappoints me as a citizen that the networks have limited the coverage of the entire convention. I mean, the biofilm is just one very small part of it, and perhaps they can make an argument that it's some sort of commercial, although I certainly don't see my film that way at all.
Though the Republicans say they will show a George W. Bush biographical film tonight, David Schwartz from the American Museum of the Moving Image says the form may be obsolete. Schwartz says many of its main ingredients, the family testimonial and the satisfied party rank and file, are now presented live during the convention.
What we used to have were short films that were parts of the convention. And nowadays what we have is the convention itself is a film. It's a 3-hour film played out on primetime network television.
And this week, Schwartz says, the Republican Party, with its calls to remember September 11th, has made Manhattan the biggest movie backdrop in the world. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose.